In a world obsessed with self-improvement, Augustine's Confession stands as the original spiritual autobiography that has influenced countless lives for over 1,600 years. Written around 397-398 CE, this intimate dialogue between a man and his God has become a cornerstone of Western thought, with figures from Martin Luther to James Joyce citing its profound impact. What makes this ancient text so enduring? Perhaps it's Augustine's unflinching honesty about his flaws, his philosophical brilliance, or his poetic articulation of the universal human yearning for meaning. As C.S. Lewis once remarked, Augustine's Confessions taught me that the heart's deepest longing is not for any of God's gifts, but for God Himself. Born in 354 CE in North Africa to a pagan father and Christian mother, Augustine's early life hardly suggested future sainthood. As a young man, I was consumed by ambition, lust, and intellectual pride. My passionate nature led me into a long-term relationship with a woman I couldn't marry due to social conventions, with whom I fathered a son, Adeodatus. Meanwhile, my brilliant mind became entangled in the Manichaean heresy, which taught that evil was a substance rather than the absence of good. I was in love with my own ruin, Augustine confesses about his youth. His famous theft of pears from a neighbor's tree becomes a profound meditation on the nature of sin. I loved the sin itself, he writes, not the pears, which he threw to pigs. I loved my own perdition, my own error. Not the thing for which I erred, but the error itself. This insight penetrates to the heart of human wrongdoing. We often sin not for what we gain, but for the perverse pleasure of rebellion itself. Augustine's intellectual journey took him from Carthage to Rome and finally to Milan, where he encountered Bishop Ambrose. Through Ambrose's preaching, Augustine began to see that the Catholic faith he had dismissed as simplistic contained profound depths. Simultaneously, his reading of Neoplatonic philosophy helped him conceive of God as a spiritual rather than physical being. The climactic moment of conversion, described with cinematic vividness, came in a Milan garden. Tormented by his inability to commit fully to the Christian path, Augustine heard a child's voice saying, "Take it and read." Opening the Bible randomly, he read Paul's words, "Not in reveling and drunkenness, not in lust and wantonness, not in quarrels and rivalries. Rather, arm yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Spend no more thought on nature and nature's appetites." In that moment, light flooded my heart and all doubt vanished. This dramatic conversion led Augustine to baptism, priestly ordination, and eventually becoming Bishop of Hippo, where he would write works that transformed Western theology and philosophy. His journey from dissolute youth to holy bishop reminds us that transformation is always possible, no matter how far we've strayed. Perhaps the most quoted line from the Confessions is its opening. "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." This profound insight captures the universal human experience of longing, the sense that nothing in this world fully satisfies our deepest desires. Augustine's observation has become a touchstone for understanding the human condition, resonating across cultural and religious boundaries. Augustine explores this restlessness through his own experiences, documenting his journey through various forms of worldly fulfillment. As a young man, he pursued pleasure, ambition, and intellectual achievement, yet found each ultimately hollow. In Carthage, he excelled in rhetoric and became celebrated for his speaking abilities, yet success brought only temporary satisfaction. "I was looking for you outside myself," he tells God, "and I did not find the God of my heart." His pursuit of romantic love, while intense, left him wanting. "I loved the idea of love," he confesses, "while starving for the food that does not perish." He describes passionate affairs and intellectual pursuits that promised fulfillment but delivered only fleeting happiness. Even friendship, which Augustine valued deeply, proved insufficient when his unnamed friend died. Their relationship, forged in childhood and strengthened through shared interests and experiences, was suddenly severed. My heart was utterly darkened by this sorrow, he writes, and everywhere I looked, I saw death. The transience of human relationships, however meaningful, points to our need for an eternal bond. This experience became a turning point in Augustine's understanding of human attachment and divine love. Augustine's analysis extends beyond personal experience to philosophical depth. He argues that our desires for beauty, truth, and goodness are actually displaced desires for God, who is the source of all these things. When we seek pleasure in created things rather than the Creator, we inevitably experience disappointment. He illustrates this through various examples: the musician seeking perfect harmony, the philosopher pursuing absolute truth, the lover yearning for complete union. You were within me, but I was outside myself, he laments, describing how he searched for God in the external world when the divine presence was already within. This restlessness manifests as a kind of homesickness. We are exiles longing for our true country. Augustine describes it as a spiritual gravity, constantly pulling the soul toward its proper resting place. Our hearts are restless because we are made for eternity but trapped in time, created for perfect love but experiencing only fragments. He observes this pattern in human behavior, the constant striving for more, the dissatisfaction with achieved goals, the persistent feeling that something essential remains just out of reach. Augustine's insight has resonated across centuries because it names an experience common to humanity: the persistent sense that there must be more than what we see and touch. This universal longing, he argues, is itself evidence of our divine origin and destination. Augustine's exploration of memory and time in books X and XI reveals his remarkable psychological insight. Centuries before Freud, he probed the mysterious depths of human consciousness with astonishing perception. Memory, Augustine observes, is a vast and boundless palace containing not just sensory impressions, but concepts, emotions, and even the memory of forgetting. Great is the power of memory, he writes, a profound and immeasurable multiplicity, and this is mind, this is I myself. He marvels at how memory contains things we've never physically experienced, how it holds knowledge we didn't know we possessed, and how it mysteriously connects us to our past selves. When I recall my childhood, Augustine notes, I become again the child I was, yet remain the adult I am. Memory thus unifies our fragmented existence across time. This insight anticipates modern psychological theories about identity formation and continuity of self. His analysis of time is equally penetrating. What then is time? He famously asks. If no one asks me, I know. If I want to explain it to someone who does ask me, I don't know. Augustine rejects the notion that time is simply the movement of heavenly bodies, arguing instead that it exists in the mind as a distension or stretching of consciousness. He proposes that the past exists only as present memory, the future as present expectation, and the present itself as attention, a vanishing point between what was and what will be. The present of things past is memory. The present of things present is direct perception, and the present of things future is expectation, he writes, anticipating phenomenology by 1,500 years. Augustine's psychological insights extend to motivation and desire. He observes how we often act against our own interests, wanting one thing but doing another. The mind commands the body and is instantly obeyed. The mind commands itself and meets resistance. This internal division, what Paul called the law in my members warring against the law of my mind, reveals the complexity of human will and anticipates modern concepts of unconscious motivation. These psychological observations remain startlingly relevant. When we scroll through social media despite intending to work, or eat unhealthy food despite knowing better, we experience exactly the divided will Augustine described. His analysis of memory as constitutive of identity speaks directly to contemporary questions about selfhood in an age of digital memory and artificial intelligence. One of Augustine's greatest intellectual struggles was reconciling God's goodness with the existence of evil. As a Manichaean, he had accepted a dualistic explanation. Good and evil were equal, opposing forces in eternal conflict. But this solution ultimately failed him, leading to his profound Christian understanding of evil, not as a substance, but as a privation, the absence of good. I inquired what wickedness was, Augustine writes, and I did not find a substance, but a perversion of will twisted away from the highest substance, you, O God. This insight revolutionized Western thought about evil. Evil has no independent existence. It is parasitic on good, a corruption or misdirection of what should be rightly ordered. Augustine uses the metaphor of a wound to illustrate this concept. A wound exists only as a privation of healthy flesh. It has no independent reality. Similarly, evil exists only as the corruption of what should be good. This explains why even in our worst actions, we're typically pursuing something good, pleasure, power, security, in a disordered way. This understanding of evil leads directly to Augustine's defense of free will. If evil is not a substance but a choice, then moral responsibility becomes central. The cause of evil is the free decision of our will, he argues. God grants humans genuine freedom, which includes the possibility of choosing wrongly. Augustine's wrestling with these questions wasn't merely theoretical. The Confessions describes his personal struggle with evil, both the evil he committed and the evil he suffered. His theft of pears becomes a case study in the irrationality of sin. Why did he steal what he didn't need or even want? Because I loved my own undoing. His grief over his friend's death raises questions about divine providence. Why does God allow suffering? Augustine gradually comes to see that temporal goods, including human life, are real goods but not ultimate goods. They are meant to point beyond themselves to their Creator. Augustine's solution to the problem of evil remains influential today. When we see evil not as something God created, but as a distortion of the good He made, we preserve both divine goodness and human responsibility. This framework helps us make sense of moral evil, human wrongdoing, while acknowledging natural evil, suffering, as part of a fallen world that still retains the goodness of its original creation. At the heart of Augustine's theology lies a radical understanding of divine grace, God's freely given, unmerited favor that transforms the human heart. This emphasis on grace represented a spiritual revolution against prevailing notions of self-sufficiency and moral achievement. What do you have that you did not receive? Augustine asks, echoing Paul. His own life story illustrates this principle. Despite his mother Monica's tears and prayers, Augustine remained resistant to Christianity for years. His eventual conversion came not through his own seeking, but through a series of providential encounters, with Ambrose, with Neoplatonic texts, with the child's voice saying, "Take it and read." Looking back, he sees God's hand guiding him even when he was running away. "Late have I loved you," Augustine writes in one of the Confessions' most beautiful passages, "beauty so ancient and so new, late have I loved you. And behold, you were within me, and I was outside myself, and I sought you outside myself." This belated recognition of God's constant presence underscores Augustine's understanding of grace. God was pursuing him long before Augustine began pursuing God. This emphasis on divine initiative challenged both pagan self-reliance and emerging Christian heresies that emphasized human moral capacity. Against Pelagius, who would later argue that humans could achieve righteousness through proper effort, Augustine insisted that, "without me, you can do nothing." Our very desire for God, he argued, is itself God's gift. Augustine's doctrine of grace has profound implications for human relationships. If salvation comes not through merit but through mercy, then spiritual pride becomes the deadliest sin. What could be worse, he asks, than for a person to be so proud that he thinks he has no need of the physician who could heal him? This insight fostered a spirituality of humility and interdependence rather than competition and self-justification. The Confessions itself embodies this theology of grace. By publicly acknowledging his sins and God's mercy, Augustine models the humility he preaches. "I want to act in truth," he writes, "making my confession both in my heart before you and in this book before many witnesses." This radical honesty, admitting his ongoing struggles even as a bishop, created a new model of spiritual autobiography that continues to inspire. Augustine's emphasis on grace remains revolutionary in our achievement-oriented culture. His message that we are loved not for our accomplishments but despite our failures offers liberation from the exhausting treadmill of self-justification. As he puts it, the entire life of a good Christian is a holy longing, sustained not by our own strength but by God's unfailing love. In the final books of the Confessions, Augustine shifts from autobiographical narrative to philosophical exploration, particularly focusing on the Genesis creation account. This seemingly abrupt change actually completes the arc of his spiritual journey, from his own origins in sin to the ultimate origin of all things in God. Augustine approaches Genesis not as a scientific text, but as a profound theological statement about God's relationship to creation. "You made heaven and earth not out of yourself," he writes, "for then they would have been equal to your only begotten Son and therefore to yourself. Instead, God created ex nihilo, out of nothing, establishing an unbridgeable distinction between creator and created." This distinction becomes central to Augustine's understanding of human purpose. If we are created beings, not divine ourselves, then our fulfillment comes not from autonomy, but from proper relationship to our Creator. Our good, about which philosophers dispute, is nothing else than to cling to Him, Augustine argues. We find our true identity not in self-assertion, but in loving submission. Augustine's exploration of time in Book X emerges from his meditation on creation. If God created time itself along with the physical universe, then asking what God was doing before creation becomes meaningless. There was no before. God exists in an eternal present, where your today is eternity. This insight into divine timelessness helps Augustine understand how God can be both transcendent, beyond time, and immanent, present in every moment. The Confessions concludes with Augustine's vision of creation's ultimate purpose, to find rest in God. Just as God rested on the seventh day, so humanity will find its Sabbath rest in eternal communion with its Creator. "You have made us for yourself," Augustine began. Now he completes the thought, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you." This theological framework offers a profound alternative to both ancient and modern creation myths. Against materialist accounts that see the universe as random or self-creating, Augustine insists on divine intentionality. Against pantheistic views that collapse the distinction between God and world, he maintains creation's dependence on its transcendent source. The result is a vision that affirms both the world's goodness as God's handiwork and its limitation as created rather than divine. Augustine's Confessions revolutionized Western thought in multiple domains, creating the genre of spiritual autobiography, developing psychological insights centuries ahead of their time, and establishing theological frameworks that continue to shape Christian thought. This groundbreaking work marked the first time a writer had explored the inner landscape of the soul with such depth and precision, setting a template that would influence countless authors, from Rousseau to Thomas Merton. The Confessions endures because it captures what it means to be human, to desire happiness yet repeatedly sabotage it, to know what is right yet do what is wrong, to seek meaning in a world of transience and loss. Augustine's unflinching honesty about his own contradictions creates a mirror in which readers across centuries have recognized themselves. His detailed accounts of stealing pears as a youth, struggling with sexual desire, and grieving his mother's death reveal universal experiences that transcend time and culture. "I have become a question to myself," Augustine writes, a statement that resonates in our age of identity exploration. His integration of intellectual rigor with emotional vulnerability offers a model for authentic self-examination that neither wallows in feelings nor hides behind abstractions. Through careful analysis of his motivations, desires, and failures, Augustine demonstrates how deep self-reflection can lead to profound insights about human nature. His description of memory as a vast palace with countless chambers anticipated modern psychological understanding of consciousness and subconsciousness. Augustine's influence extends far beyond Christianity into multiple disciplines. His analysis of memory and time influenced phenomenologists like Husserl and Heidegger, who built upon his insights about temporal experience and human consciousness. His exploration of desire and its discontents anticipated psychoanalytic insights about the unconscious mind and internal conflicts. His understanding of language as both revealing and concealing truth informed modern literary theory and semiotics. Even secular readers find in Augustine a kindred spirit who takes seriously the human quest for meaning, particularly in his careful examination of friendship, love, and loss. The confession's most profound legacy may be its demonstration that intellectual depth and spiritual passion need not be opposed. Augustine shows us that the life of the mind and the life of faith can be integrated, that reason and love can work together in the search for truth. "I believe in order to understand," he writes elsewhere, capturing this dynamic relationship between faith and reason. His ability to weave together philosophical argumentation with personal narrative created a new way of approaching both theological and psychological truth. In our fragmented age, when intellectual discourse often seems divorced from lived experience, Augustine's example is more valuable than ever. He reminds us that the most important questions, "Who am I? What should I love? Where can I find happiness?" require both rigorous thinking and personal commitment. His detailed exploration of memory, time, and human consciousness continues to influence fields as diverse as psychology, philosophy, and neuroscience. The Confessions continues to guide readers on this journey of self-discovery, offering not easy answers, but a companion for the quest, demonstrating how personal transformation can emerge from the honest examination of one's life and thoughts. Augustine's Confessions ends not with triumph, but with ongoing prayer, a recognition that the journey toward God continues throughout life. "Late have I loved you," he writes in the passage that perhaps best captures the book's essence. "Beauty so ancient and so new, late have I loved you. You were within me, and I was outside myself, and there I sought you. You called, you shouted, and you broke through my deafness. You flashed, you shone, and you dispelled my blindness. You breathed your fragrance on me. I drew in breath, and now I pant for you. I have tasted you, now I hunger and thirst for more. You touched me, and I burned for your peace." This poetic expression of spiritual awakening speaks to anyone who has ever felt a longing for something beyond the material world. Augustine's journey from restlessness to rest, from fragmentation to wholeness, from pride to humility, offers a roadmap for our own spiritual quests, whatever form they take. His description of searching everywhere except within himself resonates particularly with modern readers who often seek fulfillment in external achievements, possessions, or relationships, only to find these insufficient. The genius of the Confessions lies in its dual nature. It is both intensely personal and universally relevant. Augustine bears his soul with remarkable vulnerability, yet in doing so, he illuminates the human condition itself. His story becomes our story, his struggles mirror our own. when he describes his theft of pears as a youth, his intellectual pride as a teacher, or his desperate prayer in the garden, these specific moments transcend their historical context to reveal timeless truths about human nature and our relationship with the divine. As he writes near the beginning, "I want to call back to my heart my past foulness and the carnal corruptions of my soul, that you, my God, may grow sweet to me." This sweetness, the joy of communion with the divine, remains the goal of Augustine's spiritual journey and the promise he holds out to his readers. In a world still characterized by restlessness, division, and the endless pursuit of insufficient goods, Augustine's testimony continues to point toward the possibility of finding our true home in the eternal. His metaphor of rest in God speaks powerfully to our age of anxiety and constant motion, suggesting that true peace comes not from acquiring more or achieving more, but from aligning ourselves with our deepest purpose. The Confessions concludes with Augustine's meditation on memory, time, and eternity, suggesting that our journey home is not just personal but cosmic in scope. His final prayers acknowledge both the progress made and the distance yet to travel, reminding us that spiritual growth is not a destination but an ongoing process of transformation. In this way, Augustine's work serves not just as a historical document or theological treatise, but as a living guide for all who seek to understand their own spiritual journey.